Well, I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Do you still get the sound in any cinemas? Do they give it at home?
It's maybe more of a home experience, this one, isn't it? The old, it's like firing up the old VHS.
Yeah, I don't think THX is in any cinemas. I could be totally wrong on that.
It's been Dolby'd out of the room.
Yeah, out of the market.
But, you know, fire up those old Star Wars VHS tapes.
I've got a couple of those.
That's George Lucas's child, THX.
But back to fonts. And this is relevant because I'm just admiring the font of the Whānau Marama New Zealand International Film Festival program for 2023.
It is a very well-printed document.
It is well-printed.
Spanning many pages.
There certainly is something to be said about getting your hands on one of these programs, going through, reading about all the films, circling them, intending to see some, and not seeing that many at all.
Oh, John. I mean, look, if you want to destroy trees like that, that's your business, mate.
That's my classic thing. Business. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this many. I think the most I've ever managed to do is 8, which I think is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
For just a general human.
Yeah, what's your median cinema attendance per week?
Like, not usually?
Yeah, so eight and 2.5, 3 weeks is pretty good going. You can pat yourself on the back. Creditable amount of film going.
That's right.
But what I'm trying to say is my aspirations are always so high at this time of year. That's where I'm getting to because there's so many great films. And Steve, what are we staring down the barrel of this year?
Well, I'll come to some picks in just a moment, but I just want to just focus on that experience of kind of cracking the program open first because I really, really look forward to this.
I can smell it. I can
really
smell
look forward
it
to this every year.
It smells so fresh.
And as you say, there's a real joy in getting your scribble on, and I think that can be... You know, that can partly be from dog-earing the pages as you go through or kind of actually looking in those middle pages of the program at the actual schedule and starting to scribble away there. But, you know, also what's so much fun to do is, well, so useful to do actually now is hit the festival website, nziff.co.nz, where if you create an account there, you can make a little wish list of your films and it'll build your schedule for you and tell you where your clashes are.
Oh.
And as someone that approaches the film festival like a pig in muck, I need to be told those clashes so I can recalibrate my program. So I'll be trying to see like 2 or 3 films probably most days of the festival. And as as anyone that's gotten a bit carried away with their film festival planning will know, your whole kind of schedule can come unstuck when you realize, these 2 things are happening at the same time. That means I'm going to have to retrace all of my steps because now I want to change this to Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's stuffed that up. Oh, that's going to go to Thursday. But eventually you probably are going to have to accept if you're trying to see lots of things that you maybe can't see them all.
Mm-hmm.
But therein lies the challenge to
so
cram
the top
as much
tip
in as
there
you can.
Is to go to a film that you think doesn't have any good chances of being distributed by like
it's kind of a common sense
move. We always kind of play that game, right?
Yeah.
But then the flip side of that is you can get it wrong and not get a chance to see that film in the cinema.
Enough,
it might come to streaming, it might bypass cinemas, you might go from being able to watch something on the biggest possible screen, you might go from the Civic to the third smallest cinema at Rialto or something when it gets a general release. So,
right.
You know, I think we all sort of play that hedging our bets game a little bit. And yes, you know, the obvious heavyweight contenders in the program are likely to return to cinemas sometime in the next sort of 6 to 9 months. But you can never be sure. And I kind of like trying to see things as early as I can so I can, you know, just be part of the conversation, you know?
Do you know many people who have taken... you know, the entire festival period off work just so they could like do as many films as humanly possible.
A couple of pals have taken that approach and it's what really unlocks those like sort of 11 a.m. 1 p.m. sort of screenings for lots of people where you could actually conceivably see 5 films in a day.
Yes.
Which is probably 2 films too many for me. That's
a lot to take in.
It's a lot to take in. And I think that sort of We might sort of explore some looking after yourself.
Yes, tips in the coming weeks.
As we get a bit closer.
Between each film.
because the other thing is, you can't subsist on cinema food for that many films on those consecutive days.
You have to make your own sandwiches, probably.
I mean, I'm not advocating first of all, look, I'm make it clear, I'm not advocating BYO food. I'm just saying that Jaffa's and popcorn and Coke is a pretty bad diet for three weeks straight.
Not a sustainable one, at the very least.
Not at all, not at all. But kind of getting into the meat of this program, there are 129 feature films.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, right away you're going to start doing some whittling down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Numerous films from the Cannes Film Festival this year, including the Palme d'Or winner Anatomy of a Fall, which opens this year's festival. Also from Cannes, there's Monster, Asteroid City, May, December. There's like a bevy of major international film festival titles coming. But I've had a bit of a squiz because I wanted to kind of find a few things that maybe weren't necessarily the most obvious to talk about today.
Mm.
Although I do got to say, I watched the King Loser doco last night. And
no spoilers, please.
It's really good.
Oh, fantastic.
It's really, really good. This film charts the band, it captures their reunion tour, but what I really, really loved about it was it, without being encyclopedic, it paints a really interesting picture of the New Zealand music ecosystem in the 90s and even the 80s to some extent.
Mm.
Lots of wonderful archive footage, some great interviews. That film is having its world premiere at the Hollywood Avondale on Friday the 28th of July.
That's going to be one hot event.
It's going to be hot shit, and it's going to be followed by a gig at the Hollywood with Cash Guitar featuring King Loser's Chris Hazlewood. So that's one to put in the calendar and book the rest of your festival around, I reckon.
Yes. Is this something that might get some, momentum overseas? Do you think there would be?
Yeah, I was wondering that last night actually, and I think because the film has evolved a little bit from an earlier version I saw was much more tightly focused on the reunion tour.
Hmm.
I think the scope of it's widened a little bit, the sort of human elements broadened, and that makes it both more attractive for audiences in New Zealand that might not know King Loser.
Hmm.
But also, you know, it'd be a really fascinating insight into our fucking weird culture.
Yes, of course, totally. That's what I was thinking. For people, I mean, obviously, all the Flying Nun stuff, people are probably curious about that and to see something, you know, from a nearby scene happening.
Yeah. And
Aotearoa at the time.
And yeah, look, we're, you know, King Lizard, three really good albums on Flying Nun, but there's, light years between them and your Chills or Garage Lands or what have you. It's a very different group of people.
Yes.
Biro that one right in. So if it's Friday the 28th of July at the Hollywood, there are a couple of other screenings, but yeah, that'll be the one to hit for that. Also in the K's, there's a film called Kim's Video that looks fascinating. This is a video store that existed in Manhattan and built up a library of 55,000 films for rent.
Mm.
Many of them kind of illegitimately sourced. The esoteric, the weird, the interesting, became a bit of a mecca for the kind of weird, you know, fans of weirder films in New York. Expanded to five locations, it had a retail component, ran into trouble with the cops for selling mixtapes and breach of copyright, probably a bunch of other things as well. Eventually the stores closed down, not before employing people like Andrew WK or filmmakers Todd Phillips or Alex Ross Perry. Albert Hammond Jr. worked there as well. So a notoriously surly kind of staff.
Mm.
This is your kind of ultimate kind of video store experience, I reckon, that we no longer get to have
it.
Even a slice
it.
Of.
It's so good. It was so good.
So not just a eulogy for this kind of world, though. What happened when they closed the stores was the collection was given away, but it was given away with certain conditions. Couldn't be split up. Had to be accessible to people that were members of Kim's.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it ended up on a different continent to where it originally was.
Yes.
and then even more weird shit happened. So okay. I'm really looking forward to this as both a kind of a interesting kind of sleuthy documentary and one that captures a captures an era that we don't get to live in anymore.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
We also have Loop Track, which is a film by Tom Sainsbury,
mm-hmm.
which I'm very much looking forward to seeing. Yeah. Tom Sainsbury feature film. He's served up some, you know, we know Tom from Instagram, from his comedy, from his kind of supporting roles in other people's projects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he's made a couple of really great 48 hours shorts that are maybe not quite as comedic as you'd expect and mm-hmm. kind of have some more dramatic sort of sci-fi overtones. Yeah. It feels like Loop Track might be following in at least the sort of dramatic direction of that. He's the writer, director, and actor in here. It's a film about sort of sinister goings-on a hike, which would be a very quintessentially New Zealand experience, I'm imagining. And another film that has its origins in New Zealand, but which might come as a surprise, actually, to people that encounter it both here and abroad, and is a film that I'm really stoked to see the Flix logo next to in the program, is Bad Behaviour. This is the directorial debut of Alice Inglert. She's an actor who's making her first foray into feature filmmaking here. And for a New Zealand film to star Jennifer Connelly and Ben Whishaw is the sort of thing that in the olden days would have just got reported on for existing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, we're a lot more used to international productions happening here, but it's still a mighty cast.
Mm-hmm.
And the film is set to some extent here as well. It's not, you know, just New Zealand doubling for a convenient other location.
Mm-hmm.
So, really looking forward to this one. It looks like a singular tale of mums and daughters' expectations, dysfunction. And something that I quite like about the coverage I've seen to date is it's had quite a polarizing response.
Mm.
It's a bit of a love or hate. Mm. And that's something that I get quite attracted to at this process of thinking about film festival titles, because I'm kind of here to be slapped around to some extent, right? Like, you know, I don't want to see a middle of the road, so-so film. We can do that any time of the year.
That's right.
A good time to take a couple of risks and, you know, see something that really stands out in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very much looking forward to Bad Behaviour. You guys writing a list? You got a list?
Yep, we've got a list. I think Corey's good. Taking notes so we can put them up in the podcast.
Sorry, I'm just sniffing the paper still.
There's a ton more, but the last one I mentioned today, because obviously we'll be sort of making a few tips in the coming weeks, is a film with the awesome title Hello Dankness.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God you're bringing this up. I'm very happy about this.
Look, I'll bring the dank up as much as possible. This is by a filmmaking multimedia duo collective, Soda Jerk. They brought their fantastic last film, Terra Nullius, to the festival in 2018, which was
still
kind of
so good.
Yeah, it's a style that that was a kind of collaged film. They built narratives out of sampling existing film content.
Yeah,
it was telling a story of kind of Pauline Hanson era Australia, of anti-migrant Australia. Sort of building that into the world of Mad Max, like very irreverent. Like it's the film version of maybe your Shepherd Fairey artwork, or you know, we're used to the sort of culture jamming stuff as sort of had its day.
We hear very cool mashups. Just imagine what the film equivalent to that is, dear listener.
Absolutely. So it's sort of got one foot in the world of video art, another foot in the world of, you know, almost kind of cartoon satire in a way. And Hello Dankness looks to do the same thing, really. This is, again, a film made up of painstakingly sampled and recollaged material. Looks to be kind of set around the time of the 2016 presidential elections, kind of capturing the mood of the United States.
What a classic time.
What
a time to be alive.
You know, wasn't it great to be alive back then? But we will always say of years gone by as our world deteriorates. The imagery for this has Mike Myers from Wayne's World featuring very prominently with his arms wrapped around a bust of Trump. I think that kind of...
That
sentence kind of says it all. So we're really looking forward to seeing this. Terra Nullius and no doubt Hello Dankness of things that... there is almost no way that you'd get to see outside of a film festival environment. Yeah. They are just a copyright lawyer's wet dream of lawsuits. A fucking
nightmare.
So it's like one chance.
Three chances.
Yeah, yeah.
All three of them have Q&A sessions with Soda Jerk themselves, so they are here in the country.
Yeah, and they're really, unsurprisingly, a really interesting couple of people. Chatting to them on their last visit was one of the highlights of that year's festival. Getting along to one of their screenings and seeing their work and hearing them delve into it more will be really, really special. It's nice to see something that has such a sort of bleeding edge art world style mixed with a genuine sense of humour.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. It's irreverent even as it makes some very pointed political comments.
Excellent.
And that's a few picks.
All right, Steve. Well, we'll look forward to next week when we've got more picks from you from the International Film Festival.
Absolutely. And just mention quickly before I go, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
How did that go?
In cinemas from tonight.
Oh, okay.
It made me really sad. And not in a nostalgic way, but because, first of all, the first 25 minutes has a pretty well-done de-aged Harrison Ford.
Okay.
But I was just sitting there going, oh, this is what movies are going to be. This is what movies are going to be. They're going to be actors that have aged out, or are going to die. Or worse, actors that aren't around anymore.
Yeah.
And can just be built out of materials from the vault. And it's kind of a bit... I found the whole film a little bit fanficky. Like, it didn't really quite... Like, it's arguably not as bad as many of the legacy sequels that are sort of in that nostalgia market at the moment.
Yeah.
There's a real joy to seeing a present-day Harrison Ford kind of be a cantankerous old Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't really glue together. There's no Spielberg, there's no George Lucas involved in the making of the film. Four credited writers, I think, which... kind of makes sense when you see it. It's long, but it's also the last Indiana Jones film. So
what about the soundtrack? Sort of, yeah. Who did the soundtrack this time around?
Oh, well, is that familiar? There's a familiar refrain bubbling away, but I'm not sure sort of what of any new orchestral compositions are lurking in there. But, you know, there's the signature Jones.
I'm already disappointed. Refrain. One star.
But yeah, I think on the heels
no
of
hopes.
On the heels of the Directors Guild negotiations on the current WGA strike, all this fear about AI and Hollywood and what it's going to mean for storytelling, I kind of felt a little bit like I got a bit of a glimpse of the future.
Yeah.
And it's one that, to be honest, it's probably better than most that are going to be spat out by that system if it does.
Mm.
Well, it will come to pass. Yeah. Stink.
Far out.
But hey, there's definitely enjoyable moments. And I think it's sort of squeaks past. Oh, it's a little bit. It's a bit more squeaking past Crystal Skull as a farewell for the character. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a better way to say goodbye to Harrison Ford in that role.
Mm.
All right, Steve. On that note,
cheers, mate.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.